joining us on the line. First time we've talked to him before, but he is Darren Pritchett. He is the radio host of South Bend's weekday sports beat on WSBT in South Bend. He's also the hockey voice for Notre Dame hockey and South Bend Cubs play-by-play man. So we wanted to have him come in as part of our Down on the Farm series. We look at some of the prospects for the Cubs, White Sox, and Brewers. Talk about what's it looking like for the South Bend Cubs and the future Chicago Cubs. Darren, how are you doing this morning?
I'm great, guys. How are you?
Doing good. South Bend right now is sitting in fourth place out of eight teams in the Midwest League's Eastern Division. Since we haven't talked to you, kind of give us a synopsis, I guess, an overview of what the team's been like so far for the first couple of months of this season.
They've actually played really good ball. They're 31-25. They would be a playoff team or right there if they were in the other division. But this is a pretty stacked prospect Eastern Division this year, one of the top 10 prospects in all of baseball. We're actually facing right now Wander Franco, an 18-year-old shortstop for Bowling Green in the Tampa Bay organization. And there's just a ton of talent. The All-Star teams will be announced today. And I got a sneak peek, and our division's absolutely loaded. So we're 31-25. We're playing actually really good baseball, very strong starting pitching. And the offense has been pretty good. Batting average, they're second in the Midwest League. They probably need to walk a little more. They don't walk as much as I think the Cubs organization would like, but it's a work in progress, and it's been a really fun team to be around so far.
Well, based on MLB.com, you guys have got quite a few top prospects for the Cubs organization as well as South Bend. I got number 3, Braylon Marquez, and number 5, Roederer. Okay. But I want to start talking first, probably more intriguing guys, and that's Brendan Davis, a team second-round pick from last year. And for people that don't know, he's the son of former Chicago Bulls forward Reggie Theus, which I just found that out myself. I thought that was pretty cool. He joined you guys about a couple weeks ago. Is that right?
Yeah, he's only been with us for 10 days.
Okay. What you've seen, what do you think?
Wow, he doesn't look 19 years old. He has been so impressive. And I'm just starting to work on my game notes for today. And I know he's hitting right around 380. His on-base percentage is close to 500. He had his second Midwest League home run last night, and it was a hanging curveball that he drilled to deep left center field. Very athletic, very strong, very impressive swing. And he has handled the outfield perfectly so far. So for a 19-year-old kid, he was the 62nd overall pick last year. Roederer was 77. So these two have kind of gotten to know each other. They push each other. Roederer has been here the whole year. He's on the injured list right now, but Davis has come up. And I mentioned this on the broadcast last night. We have all three of our starting outfielders from opening day injured right now. And there's no way you can send Davis back to Mesa or Eugene because he has been absolutely spectacular. And again, just 19 years old, facing guys 23, 24 pretty consistently. He has looked the part. He has not been overmatched. And he looks like a guy that I think Cub fans should be very excited about. Now, it's very early. This is still low-A baseball, but he has really looked quite good so far.
Well, you mentioned the outfield's injured. If they all came back, do you think he does go back, or do you think he's earned a spot to stay with you guys?
Yeah, I think he's earned a spot to stay unless something dramatic happens. Roederer probably will be back over the next couple of days, and I would say probably Edmund Americon, who joined us last, would be probably the one guy that would leave from the outfield group. I think Velasquez is a little ways away yet, so I just can't see any way Davis goes. And I'll say this, guys. I've been doing this for 5 years, and that's the amount of time South Bend has had the Cubs affiliation. This is by far the deepest roster. We've got our starting third baseman who hit third on opening day. He's been out since, like, April 11th or 12th. Mm-hmm. And a 19-year-old, Chris Morel, has come in and played exceptionally well. I don't know what happens at third base when Fidel Mejia gets back healthy. So this is a very, very deep roster, and there's going to be some very interesting choices for the Cubs organization what to do with some of these guys.
Well, that's kind of – and, granted, as you said, this is still low A, so, I mean, there's a lot of development, a lot of time, and sure, in some cases a small sample size. But you've read where the Cubs farm system has been ranked very low, and that while you could say these guys are ranked 3 and 4 in their system – overall, they're not very high, but we've talked to a couple other guys at different levels of the Cubs organization. I went to AAA, and they all said this is not a depleted farm system by any means. There is talent coming up the line that can really make a difference at the major league level someday down the road.
You know, I would agree mostly on that particular comment. I think right now you have to say until the pitching actually shows you pretty consistently at the major league level, but that's still the big question mark. Mm-hmm. That's been the missing piece from drafting and developing. Now, Edward Alzolay, who we had in 2016 has really come on since leaving South Bend, and appears he's on the doorstep if they need a sixth starter that he can fill in. But I think there's still a lot of question marks with some of the high draft picks they've had the last few years. I know we had Brandon Little, a first-round pick last year, and his ERA was 5, and I think he's injured right now down in Mesa. So, hitting-wise, I think there's some really intriguing guys. Pitching-wise, I think there's a guy like Alzolay that should be ready to go, and we had a guy by the name of Corey Abbott last year that moved up that I'm very high on, a good fastball-slider combination. So I think it's coming. Braylon Marquez for us, you know, he's only 20 years old, and his fastball's 95 to 98, and he's got a really good wipeout slider, and I think his development will depend on his changeup. That's the one pitch that probably will decide if he's going to be a starter or a reliever down the line. I mean, his fastball gets hit a lot right now for the speed and the level he's at, which maybe is a little bit of a concern, but his stuff is electric. He's only 20, and I think once he learns to pitch rather than just throw, then, guys, I think the Cubs have something really, really intriguing to work with.
Now, obviously, you talk about a lot of guys are listed. We've mentioned before Marquez is number 3, Roeder 5 and all that. Braylon, Nelson Velasquez is 15 on their list. But every year we talk to the two people at the different organizations. Who are some of the guys that don't have that prospect label that you're seeing that people are going to be maybe hearing about in a year or two, Cubs fans will learn about that they don't know about right now because they didn't give that prospect label?
Can he be someone that's not with us now, or do you want somebody that's with us now?
Either one is fine.
Okay. You know, guy we had last year, and he's a guy that maybe position-wise could be a bit of a question mark, but I'm going by his bat, his work ethic, his baseball IQ, is Jared Young, who had an exceptional run with us in the Midwest League last year. And he's the guy that played first for us. He played, I think, second in college. We tried him in the outfield a little bit. His bat plays. He's a lefty. He's got some pop. So if they can figure out a position for him, he's kind of intriguing. In terms of this team this year, I hate to go with a guy that was picked in the 5th round, but Andy Weber, our shortstop out of the University of Virginia, has been a very, very opportunistic hitter. Doesn't have a lot of power as much as Young does. He's got 2 homers and 25 RBI right now. Average is right around 270. He's hitting like 330 over his last 100 at-bats, so he's really come on. He had quite a few errors when it was cold, but I watched Gleyber Torres commit 13 or 14 errors in April in 2015. I guess he turned out okay for the Yankees at this point. So Weber's a very consistent player. I think he's got more pop in his bat that we're not seeing. And that's the thing. People look at our home run total in South Bend. We've got 8 guys leading the team in home runs with 2. But we've got a really young team this year, and they're leading the lead in doubles. So that tells me as they continue to mature physically, then all of a sudden you're going to see that power come about. Velasquez has a ton of power. Morel is basically Javier Baez Jr., and I only say that from the standpoint, I'm not putting that talent label on him, but he swings as hard and he throws as hard as Baez does. When he swings, he leaves it all out there, and that's why we kind of look at Morel as the third baseman that kind of reminds you of Baez, the way he swings. So I think there's a lot of guys that are going to hit for more power, but right now they're young. There's 19, there's 20, they're 21-year-olds, and as time goes on, I think power is going to pop up. And, you know, Velasquez is a guy that has all the tools. He's a 5th-round pick from a couple of years ago. He only hit like 180 with us for a month last year. Came back this year more comfortable, and I think there's a ton of power in there. It's just becoming a more consistent hitter at this time. And maybe it comes down to learning what pitchers are trying to do to him. When he figures that out as a 20-year-old, then all of a sudden I think he's the guy to watch out for.
Darren, speaking of infielders, it's David Bodie bobblehead night in South Bend. And Randy, I believe you qualify for the senior discount in case you want to go over there. But Darren,
I think we can even do better than that.
Oh, good. I appreciate that. I'll make the road trip.
Darren, I believe you had a chance to see David Bodie back when you got to see him play over in South Bend. Did you ever think he would be an everyday major leaguer or at least a key contributor on the Chicago Cubs team?
Either I'm the dumbest talent evaluator of all time, or I was right, and he just proved us all wrong. Because, guys, in 2014, the Cubs were still with King County. He played there, and I believe he was just kind of a utility guy. And from the stories I'm told, whether they're true or not, I don't know, but there was a point where the Cubs were thinking about releasing him, but he was a guy that would do anything. He would go to rookie ball and catch. He'd go to AAA and play the outfield. He just wanted to play. And I remember the first half of 2015, he was still just a utility guy. I mean, we had Gleyber Torres playing shortstop, and we had a pretty good roster in the infield at that time. And he just got some marginal at-bats here and there, filled in at third base a little bit. In the second half, some guys moved on, so he got a little more opportunity to play, but he still hit 220 for that entire season. I remember he had a grand slam in Dayton. That was one of the highlights. And he was the super nicest guy. I remember he pulled my son aside, and they talked playing third base a little bit when my son was like 8 or 9 years old, and just was the greatest guy. His first baby was on the way then. And I thought, you know, this is the guy that's going to hang around because he'll play any position. You know, he works hard. But, guys, I never in a million years would have guessed that he would have made the majors. I continued to follow him, and he just continued to hit at every level. And from what I heard, that Joe Maddon absolutely fell in love with him. And once he got to the majors, it's been remarkable the clutch hits he has come up with. So, no, either I have no clue what I'm doing and watching players play, or he fooled us all, because would not have guessed it in a million years. Another guy, Franmil Reyes for the Padres, he struck out like 160 times in the Midwest League, and he's got 17 major league home runs. So sometimes these guys develop at different paces.
Last question for you, Darren. Is here, and yeah, you probably don't know if you can answer this or not, but with the number one pick of Ryan Jensen on Monday for the Cubs' number one pick, being that he's coming out of college, is there a chance that he might, once he signs, start out of South Bend, or do you expect him to start lower, or what are your expectations with him?
Boy, this is just a total gut feel. I just go back to Alex Lang, the kid out of LSU they took a few years ago. He totally skipped us. So my thinking always is, if they take a four-year college pitcher, they're probably going to want to push them along just because of the age factor, since they're probably more ready to face a bigger challenge. Now, I will say, when Lang went into the Cubs organization, I would say the pitching prospect list was a lot shorter then, so maybe that's why they moved him along. I can't say for sure. But with the system a little deeper with pitching right now, maybe they don't move along, but I guess I kind of always expect, unless it's a high school hitter or pitcher or a college player, that that first pick probably won't be here for very long, if at all. So I'm going to guess, guys, with his track record, it looks pretty good. He would seem to be a guy that might go to Myrtle Beach. But let me just say one more thing, and I don't know the thinking of the Cubs organization. I'm just kind of reading tea leaves and watching what they've done the last 5 years. Myrtle Beach at High A is not having a great season. I know as of a week ago they had the worst record in the Carolina League. So we're thinking, you know, in the past we've lost a lot of guys to Myrtle Beach for their playoff pushes with us not making the playoffs. Do the Cubs want to keep these guys in a winning atmosphere in South Bend to make the playoffs possibly in the first or second half? I mean, a lot of these guys won in Eugene last year, and they won the championship on a walk-off balk, which I've never heard before. But I'm just wondering, with Myrtle Beach struggling, there's a really good chemistry with this team, and I just wonder, for wanting guys to be in that winning environment and playing, that maybe this group will stay together. It's a younger group, and possibly a guy like Jensen could stay or actually come here. So I don't know. It's a really good question. But I guess my gut feeling is they'll want him to play against older guys, but it's to be determined. And let me just throw one more thing, guys. I know you probably have to go, but I want to mention Jose Albertos, who was the number three prospect in the Cubs system going into last year. And he was with us and just lost his control. It was hard to watch at times. They sent him down to Eugene. Nothing better happened. He just, I don't know if it was confidence at one point, but he couldn't throw strikes, and it was hard to watch. So MLB Pipeline had him at number 23 coming into this year. He joined us a couple of weeks ago, and he is more comfortable, I think, pitching in America. His English is a lot better, and I think sometimes that makes you more comfortable going to the mound.
Sure.
And even though the control's not been perfect, it has been so much better. You don't want to just, like, totally pull for guys, but this is a guy we're all pulling for, because if you don't mind me saying, he was through hell and back last year by walking just almost two guys every inning, it felt like. And he looks like a different pitcher, fastball in the mid-90s. He's got a good breaking ball. His changeup is coming back. So if anybody gave up hope on him, don't totally throw him out to the pasture yet. He's looked a lot better, a long way to go, but with the arm he has and with the talent he has, he's definitely someone to put back on the radar. So I just want to mention him real quick.
All right. Great stuff, Darren. It's Darren Pritchett. He is the radio voice, play-by-play voice of the South Bend Cubs, as well as Notre Dame hockey. He also is from WSBT Radio in South Bend. He has the weekday Sports Beat radio show. And the other thing I was going to point out too quickly is that if you want to see some of these Cubs in action, be in the Midwest League, that's one that's close by. If you can't make it all the way to South Bend from here in Rockford, they will be in Beloit from July 20th through the 22nd. That's the next and only, I think, trip to Beloit for a chance to see the South Bend Cubs as well. So, Darren, thank you so much for your input and your insight on what's going on with the South Bend Cubs. We do appreciate it.
Guys, absolutely enjoy it anytime and enjoy your day.
All right, you too. Take a break.